Buenos días, señor Donald Sutherland. Agradecerle en primer lugar que algunos de sus papeles me han hecho entender mejor la vida y a mí mismo. Y quería, usted que ha hecho de Jesucristo en Johnny cogió su fusil o de un hombre de clase media en Gente corriente, ¿cuál recuerda usted como el rodaje más divertido de toda su carrera? ¿Dónde se lo pasó mejor? ¿En qué rodaje recuerda habérselo pasado realmente bien? Muchas gracias.
Thank you for your question. I cannot answer it. I'm sorry. It's like asking me which is my favorite child. I have 5 children. If I said one of them was my favorite, the other 4 would kill me. So, they're my children. And I love the directors that I worked with. Yeah, you're going to meet Giuseppe in a minute, who's wonderful. So I can't answer it. I mean, I don't have a favorite. I had huge relationships with them all.
Another question. Siguiente pregunta, por favor.
Did they answer you? Did they translate me for you?
Yeah, they are translate. Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect. Yeah.
But I really loved working with Fellini.
Buenos días. Quería preguntarle por qué ha elegido seguir levantándose temprano y madrugando para ir a rodar cuando podría vivir de rentas, porque usted es leyenda viva del cine. Y si esos personajes enigmáticos, ambiguos, misteriosos que ha hecho en Venecia, por ejemplo, ya que menciona a Fellini, ¿podría hacerlos también en San Sebastián alguna vez? ¿Qué le parece la ciudad?
But I've been in San Sebastian for 2 days. I love the ocean. I love the ocean rushing up into the city when the tide is high, coming up through that channel. It's very beautiful. I went yesterday to see Chilida, the sculptor. It was fantastic. It was a very beautiful day. I drove the day before to see the Getty Museum, and it was fantastic. So I've had a wonderful time here, and I know how to say "à la salle des ans, denori, mille esque, donastia." That's it. But about making a film here, if someone offered me a film, I would be happy to make a film here. And you asked me, why didn't I, well, one, I don't have a lot of money to do that, and I have a lot of people that I feed, but primarily because my life is to work. The job of an actor is to work. The job of an actor is to look for his next job, you know? I love working. It's a passion. Those characters that I've played have given me a great deal of information and joy and freedom. They've lived a life that I would never have dared to live. So I'm just wondering, Teresa, is that you outside on the telephone? I've never heard anyone speak so quickly in my life. She sounds like a machine gun, and she's actually talking. Was that you on the phone? Oh, God. Teresa, say something in Spanish to these people so that they can understand how quickly you speak. See what I mean? Okay, go further away from the door. So, did I answer anybody's question? This is a disaster. Speak.
It's a fantastic disaster. Don't worry. Aquí en la primera fila tenemos otra pregunta. We have here in the first line.
Hola, buenos días. Enhorabuena por el premio y bueno, tengo que decir que es una auténtica gozada tener a alguien a quien se admira desde hace tantos años, justo aquí delante y en la ciudad. Mi pregunta es si, bueno, en sus inicios podía decirse que había un cambio de maneras de hacer cine en Hollywood.
Yes, a little.
Entonces, me gustaría saber cómo fueron aquellos años de cambio y cómo ve el Hollywood de hoy en día, que se dice y se critica tanto de que está muy anclado en una forma de hacer cine, especialmente en remakes o en grandes superproducciones de superhéroes o cosas del estilo. Gracias.
Okay. I'm just turning off my phone because I didn't want to be interrupted. You know, when I started out, I didn't ever intend to be anything but an actor in the theater. I got a job in television somewhere around 1960. I had worked for about 8 years in the theater. And nobody's quiet, are they? And so when I had the opportunity to work in a film, I had a wonderful time. But those were films where they were shot on celluloid. And they changed the magazine every 11 minutes. Now it's on digital. And they changed the, I don't know what you call it, the thing that they stick in. But anyway, they change it every 58 minutes, and sometimes they can leave it going on forever. So it's a different way of making a film. I love making films with Nick Rogue, with Robert Aldrich, with Fellini, but it's okay, no, it's all right, but it's different, and I'm not fully adjusted to it, and I probably won't ever be. But I made a little piece in a film for James Gray called Ad Astra, and it was a pleasure. Actually, I think they shot it on film. They did, I think, yeah. Anyway, okay. But about Hollywood, I don't know anything about Hollywood. I mean, I just work. And Hollywood's a society. It's wonderful. But it's an industry town. And I can't speak to it. I don't live there. I live in Canada and in Miami Beach, which is associated to the United States, but not really. And I live in France sometimes. But now I'm moving to San Sebastian.
Siguiente pregunta, por favor.
Bueno, primero felicitaciones.
Si aquí, aquí. Sí, si se levanta igual le localiza mejor.
Ah, bueno. I see. You don't need to stand up.
Okay.
No. When you stand up, it's quite threatening. So, sit.
Ah, bueno.
Yeah.
Repetimos.
Yeah.
Primero felicitaciones. Sorionak en euskera. La pregunta sería, antes de hacer para arte dramático, usted estudió música y ingeniero.
Well, no, let me stop you there. I didn't study music.
Creo que ingeniería, ¿no?
¿Ah?
Para ingeniero estudió también, si no me equivoco.
Well, okay, let me give you. I was 17 in Nova Scotia, and my father said, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "I want to be an actor." We had never seen the theater. We had never been in a theater. We had seen movies. And my father said, okay. Okay. I loved my father and my father loved me. And because I said I wanted to be an actor And because I wanted to be an actor, not from any outside influence, but because it was a deep-seated need inside me. And he said, okay, but you're going to go to university. I said, yes, because there's a theater in Toronto that I would like to work in, because one of my teachers had told me about it. And he said, well, then you should get something that you can fall back on when this doesn't work out. And he said, you should study engineering. And I was good at math. I was good at differential equations and force equals ma, you can't push a rope, that kind of thing. So that's how it came about. But I failed engineering. I was not good. They said if I wanted to be a modern artist, I should repeat my differential equations. So, I'm an actor.
Entonces nunca ha lamentado, ha dejado lamentaciones de dejar ingeniería, de músico y haber cogido arte dramático. No?
No. I never intended to be an engineer. Engineering was just a delivery system to allow me to be an actor.
Tenemos por aquí una siguiente pregunta.
Hola, buenas. Primero, enhorabuena por el premio. Y yo quería preguntarle, porque si hay dos películas de usted que me han gustado mucho, una es Los Violentos de Kelly, que es una película que recuerdo ver con mi padre de niño, que nos reíamos mucho, y quería preguntarle si tenía algún recuerdo, alguna memoria así bonita de rodaje o de la película en general. Y la otra es sobre todo el personaje de Snoke en Los Juegos del Hambre, que por mi edad pues es uno de los que más he visto, ¿no? Porque esa saga ha sido un fenómeno. ¿Y cómo recuerda el fenómeno que ha sido la saga de Los Juegos del Hambre, ya habiendo pasado unos años del estreno de la última película?
We shot Kelly's Heroes in 1968 in what was then Yugoslavia. And I had shot the film MASH, but it had not been released yet. The director was a fellow named Brian Hutton, who was terrific. I had a 6-week hiatus in my contract, and I came to shoot the first day, and then I had 6 weeks off, and I'm a Canadian, so I was going to go across the border to Leningrad, it was called then, and go to the Hermitage Museum. So I finished the first day's shooting. I came and I was playing poker. I'd had a swim in the Danube about 5 days before. And I was playing poker that night, and I couldn't get up. I'd play a hand, and then I'd go and lie down under the table, and then I'd get up for the next hand. And finally, the fellow who worked with me picked me up and walked me into the hospital. They put me in a room. They did a spinal tap. They, in fact, did 7 of them. And I had spinal meningitis, bacterial spinal meningitis. And they did not have the drugs to treat it. But I did not want to die. But I was in a coma. And I had that outer body experience where you're up here over your right shoulder, looking down and watching your body just go down this tunnel, this blue tunnel. But I grabbed on, or I thought I grabbed on, to the bed and forced myself to live. And I was lying still in a coma in my bed in the hospital, and I could hear. So if you're ever with anyone who's in a coma, talk to them. They can hear you. And I could hear the producer and two of his financial partners dictating in my room, dictating a telegram to my then wife, telling her not to come, that they would ship the body home. But I didn't die. They sent me to Charing Cross Hospital in London to give you an idea of what it was like then. The ambulance from the hospital to the airport where the British Airways plane was ready to put me in the back seats lying down. The ambulance ran out of gas on the way to the airport. But I spent 6 weeks in the hospital, and I was on the way to recovery. I wasn't recovered, but I was on the way. And they called me back, and I came back to work. They never used that little scene we shot on the first day. But when I got back, Brian Hutton came up and he said, get yourself comfortable, go up and have a sleep. And I went up to my room and I was alone. And I went to sleep and I went into that deep sleep and it was like I was dying. And I came rushing awake, and I've never been back there since, which is why I look so tired today. I just played the character, and Brian would say after each take, "That was terrific," and I would say, "Are you sure?" and start to cry. My brain was absolutely fried. Spinal meningitis means that your meninge gets swollen, it presses on your brain, and you're a freak. So that was that movie. And in the middle of it, the telegram came that MASH had been screened in a theater in San Francisco, and it had become all the rage. As for the Hunger Games, I was only in and out of it. And I had a huge affection for Coriolanus Snow. But my even greater affection was for Jennifer. She is a genius of an actor. She's just brilliant. I had not thought I would be in that movie. In fact, I thought my agents used to send me scripts because often I was not offered things. But they liked to read what I thought of them, thought of the scripts, and they send me scripts and say, "What do you think of this one?" And I thought it was a possibility that it could energize the youth of the United States and politicize them, revolutionize them maybe. Anyway, get their asses out of the chairs. It didn't, but it had a shot at doing it. And I had thought it was going to be animated. I never thought that they could have done that original script. But they did. And that was primarily because of Jennifer. And they cast me. Gary cast me in it because of the letter I wrote back detailing what I thought of the script. Hang on one second. Can somebody go out and tell them to move far away? Because I hear people talking out there, and it pisses me off. Which is English for annoys me. But they're babbling away.
Una pregunta más por aquí, por favor.
Yes.
Hola, buenas. Hola, buenas. Está aquí.
Oh, there you are.
Buenas.
Okay.
Y enhorabuena al premio de denuncia. Me gustaría cambiar un poco rumbo de las preguntas y quería preguntar a usted, ¿cómo sabe que Canadá es tan lejos del Mediterráneo he abierto las puertas para los refugiados iraquíes, palestinos y sirios, mientras Europa está mirando al otro lado. ¿Usted no le ves que los refugiados son víctimas?
Hemos pedido, por favor, que las preguntas se limiten a la trayectoria profesional de el premio Donostia, por favor.
What was he asking me?
Gracias. ¿Usted no le ves que los refugiados son víctimas de la política hipócrita de los dirigentes europeos? Gracias.
Insisto, hemos dicho que, por favor, las preguntas están relacionadas con la trayectoria profesional del señor Donald Sutherland. Sí.
Well, I didn't understand the question. No, but Canada accepts refugees. Yeah, but I'm Canadian, and you know, my great 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 grandparents were refugees. They accept them. I think they're pretty specific Canadians about the background you have to have as a refugee to come in. You have to qualify. I know that, but they're incredibly happy with the refugees that have come in. But I don't know anything else. Truthfully, I'm sorry. I couldn't understand the nature of the question, and I have to. I think maybe it was the translation. You know, I don't think it has to do with you. I don't know. But if you want to come to Canada, we'd be very glad for you to come. Yeah, speak.
Just.
Yeah, give it to him, please.
Perdóname, la pregunta es cómo su opinión sobre la actitud de los dirigentes de europeos hacia los refugiados. Esa es la pregunta. Es muy clara.
Pasemos.
No, let's talk about Brexit. I don't have an opinion about that.
Tenemos ahí.
But I have an opinion about Brexit.
En el fondo tenemos a un joven que quería hacer.
And I have an opinion about climate change. You know something? The Chinese are now using people, individuals, to pollinate their flowers and their apple trees because they do it individually. There are no more bees. If you drive in your car, there are no more bugs on your windscreen. We've lost 2.5 billion birds. There are no robins on my lawn this year. That's what we should be talking about. I know absolutely the refugee situation is something that is desperate. I mean, the refugee system at the southern border of the United States is ludicrous. But the only thing I can address as an opinion is my opinion of climate change. Because I have children, I have grandchildren, and the world that I have left them, or I'm going to leave them, is not one that they're going to be able to live in. Anyway.
One quick.
No, I'm serious. I'm really serious. The attitude at the United Nations is bullshit.
Vamos a recibir con un fuerte aplauso.
If you don't understand the translation of bullshit, I can give you another word.
No tenemos mucho tiempo, tienen una agenda muy apretada y les recuerdo que hoy hemos podido visionar la película The Burnt Orange Heresy. Se proyecta dentro de este especial premio Donostia y tenemos con nosotros también a su director. Así que, por favor, un aplauso para Josep Capotondi, que se va a sumar a la rueda de prensa.
Hi, Giuseppe.
Hi.
I really screwed this one up.
Oh, thank you. Good start.
No, I didn't. I wasn't able to answer any question adequately, and then I shot my mouth off.
Oh, well,
bueno, pueden aprovechar entonces ahora para hacer preguntas sobre la película, por favor. Si es así, si es sobre la película, adelante.
He's trying to establish control. Impossible.
Okay, tenemos aquí en la segunda fila. Micrófono, por favor, para.
Hiya, hello, I'm here. So congratulations on the film. And the main conclusion that I've drawn from the movie is that when it comes to art, you can pretty much fool the whole world into thinking something worthless is actually a masterpiece. I wanted to know if that is actually your opinion on art, and if you think the other way around could happen as well. Could you fool people into thinking something that is actually great is worthless? And I would like to know both your opinions, actually, if possible.
Well, it's something that we see happening every day, isn't it? I mean, you know, people trying to sell us lies and make us believe that's the truth. We see it everywhere, you know, in politics and finance. So yeah, I mean, you can definitely create alternate truth very easily. And maybe that's the little message of this film. More? Do you want to say something?
No, I'm not going to say anything. No, you talk. I talked a lot.
I mean, you know, it's this film is not really about art. I mean, it's just an excuse. Obviously, it's, you know, when you talk about art, it has its own mystique, you know, and it's beautiful to talk about art. But it could be translated everywhere, you know. The art critic could be somebody working in politics or somebody working in finance. It doesn't really make much difference. I mean, the concept is if you have power or money, and power and money, you can actually fabricate a new truth.
Sí, quería preguntarle al señor Shatterland si en este rodaje de una obra maestra ha vivido alguna anécdota tan jugosa como la que nos ha contado. Me imagino que no, pero si ha vivido alguna anécdota de rodaje y todas estas anécdotas y vivencias que cuenta también, perdone mi ignorancia, pero ¿están contenidas en algún libro? ¿Ha escrito usted sus memorias? ¿Se puede leer todo lo que usted ha experimentado y vivido en el cine en tantos años de carrera brillante?
I forget. No. No. What? No, I have. No, no. Giuseppe knows them.
No, but when the first time we met in your hotel room, I was trying to be as smart as and impress you with something philosophical, like, like, you know, do you really think is the, you know, duty of an artist to, you know, show his art to the public? And you were like, well, you look at me with those piercing blue eyes for a couple of seconds, but it looked like it was like 5 minutes, and I was sweating, I remember. And you said, Debney's 85, he can do whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's the best anecdote, I think.
Hello, and congratulations for the film.
Oh,
I liked
you.
It very much. I wanted to ask a question because at the end of the film, some people were speaking and said that they didn't understand why Mrs. Hollis goes back to the apartment.
Oh.
And to me, it has a clear explanation. I would like to know if that is... I think she wants to fool herself and think that love is real as much as Cassidy or Figueres want to believe the masterpiece is real. Is it a proper explanation?
It Thank is. You. Also, we have to... I don't think... I don't know. We tend to... or we want to believe that people act in a reasonable way all the time. But it's not true. I mean, our lives are governed, is governed more by feelings and passions and fears, and not by reason. And in that special occasion, I think, first of all, she's, you know, in shock and, you know, lack of oxygen and whatever. She doesn't think straight. But also, I mean, I don't want to say things that I don't know, but why do women go back to their abusive husbands or, you know, partners all the time, and then they get killed at the end? Because they are trying to change them, possibly, or I don't know, or there are no other, you know, places to go, maybe. Yeah, I think she didn't have any other place to go, and she had to go back up.
But also there's the, what is it called, the Swedish syndrome?
The Stockholm syndrome?
Stockholm syndrome. Yeah. That's in Sweden. But it's a curious situation that affects your mentality. You can't believe where you are.
Yeah,
you can't believe what's happened to you, even though you know it's happened. And there's that disbelief guides you in the strangest way.
It does, totally. And also there's this the nurse syndrome as well. Mm-hmm. You know, the nurse syndrome. You want to change somebody that you care of. And also, I mean, even intelligent people like Bernice, she can make the wrong choice. Yeah. It's funny. I mean, it's a film noir, basically. And in film noirs, reasonable people do unreasonable things all the time. So I think it works for me, at least. Or even for Elizabeth. I mean, I don't want to talk for her because she's not here. But when we talked about
this. Let's talk for her.
Yeah.
She's wonderful.
She's wonderful.
And taller than me. True.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Hola, buenas. Yo tenía una pregunta tanto para el director como para Donald referente a qué es lo que más les interesó del concepto de esta película para llevarles a querer llevarla a la gran pantalla.
No, I didn't put it on the screen, you did. Your fault.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the core theme is true, the truth. How really easy it is to fabricate a new one and sell it as the real thing. Maybe for me that was one of the main thing from the script, which was beautiful. I mean, the script, the dialogues are so beautifully crafted, I think, and. But then again, I mean, we shouldn't take this film too seriously. I mean, it's just film noir. We tried and, you know, put some irony in it and to make it playful. It's a thriller, it's a genre movie. We should just enjoy it. And then if you want to take home a little message, you know, that you can think about it when you brush your teeth before going to bed, you know, for 2 minutes, is that it's very easy to fabricate a lie and sell it as, you know, the real thing.
Tan solo tenemos tiempo para una pregunta más. Adelante, por favor.
Hello. Here. Right here. I'm actually from Miami, so I totally understand. It's a beautiful Hispanic melting pot.
I didn't mean it was an Hispanic melting pot. I mean that Miami, South Florida, which is where I live.
Correct.
It's a separate state. It really should be an island off the coast that has maybe a relationship with the United States or maybe not. But I mean, it's a wonderful place to be.
It is indeed. I was wondering how was the collaboration, the process between you two, and I was wondering, Mr. Sutherland, how you choose when you decide to make a movie, you choose the. Sometimes they say, they choose me or I choose the character. How is that process?
I don't know. Because it's different every single time. It has to do with love. You fall in love. You read the script. I sent my agent, once again, a letter saying, because I was not offered the role. It had gone already to someone else, I think. But he sent me the script because he thought I would like to read it. And I read it and I loved it. I thought it was wonderful. I thought, in fact, I was probably too old to play the character because he was thought of as a younger person initially. But I fell in love with him. I fell in love with his words, with his thoughts, with his relationship with women. He amused me greatly. And he had more strength, more force than I do as an individual. But he pushed me, you know. I was glad that Giuseppe cast me, very.
It's been a great honor, a big pleasure. Thank you very much. Thank you. Muchísimas gracias. Yeah.